Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
Stripe is the go-to choice for AI companies, from early-stage startups to scaled enterprises. 78% of the leading AI companies use Stripe to go to market quickly and scale globally. That includes pioneers like NVIDIA, OpenAI, and Perplexity. Stripe has developed cutting-edge tools to improve everything from fraud detection to checkout optimization. Whether you're aiming for incremental gains or planning for enterprise transformation, see how Stripe can help at stripe.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Amid a chronic housing shortage in Ireland and with the return of college students to many cities, there's a big fear that a bad situation is only going to get worse. The current government's policy on housing has come in for both a lot of scrutiny and a lot of criticism. But we wanted to investigate what Sinn Féin's plans look like. I'm joined by Sinn Féin's spokesperson for housing, Eoin O'Brien. Eoin, first of all, we are not unique as a country in having a housing shortage. If you are to look around the way in which it is being dealt by various different countries around the world, you may not think anybody is doing it right, but who's doing it best?
So you're absolutely right. Almost every major city in particular in the overdeveloped world has a housing crisis at the moment, although some are worse than others. And in many cases, our house prices and rents are higher than many of the comparable cities. So there are other jurisdictions where bits of their housing systems are better. Those, for example, that have much larger, what we call non-market housing. So,
But give us the archetype. Who do you point to and say they do it quite well?
If you take large parts of Germany, large parts of Austria, including Vienna, for example, or Singapore, they have 30% plus of their housing stock, which is non-market housing, social and affordable. And those types of systems tend generally to be less prone to the kind of peaks and troughs that ours are. In homelessness, for example, Helsinki is really the model to look at. And lots of the Irish homeless organisations have been highlighting how the Finnish government took a decision they were going to end long-term homelessness and need to sleep rough. They took a particular approach. And in Helsinki, for example, the capital of that country, in real terms, they've effectively ended long-term homelessness. Of course, people fall into crisis. Of course, people lose their homes. But the speed with which they go from crisis to secure housing is phenomenal compared to here. So there are also examples of where we did things better in the past, because we didn't always get things wrong. Just before we came on studio, you mentioned Merino. Merino was one of the first public housing projects in the history of this state, Cumann na Gael government, just after the War of Independence.
This being Northern inner city Dublin,
exactly,
just outside
Northern city Dublin. Some of the best quality housing in the city. And for example, there were times where we built large scale, high quality public housing for working families.
Now,
so it's not just about other countries, it's also other moments in our own past where we did things better.
Two elements of this fit with your own manifesto plans. One is the desire to end, or the commitment to end, homelessness. The other is a major shift into the public construction of homes. And just with the figures that you have, you're investing 6.5 billion, or your intent would be to pour 6.5 billion into the construction of 100,000 public homes on public land across the time that you would be in government. First of all, when you do the back of an envelope sums on that, it seems very low on a per house cost. That's about 65 grand per house. How do you afford to build? Because at current rates, that gives you 500 square foot houses.
So the important point about public financing of housing is the state currently, and under a Sinn Féin government, doesn't fund in all cases 100% of the cost. So if you take approved housing bodies, for example, the current system, which we wouldn't change, we would just expand, only funds 30% of the construction costs. The approved housing bodies then go and borrow money from the Housing Finance Agency, the European Investment Bank, or banks elsewhere. So the capital investment from the state is 30%. Likewise, if you look at the government's Affordable Housing Fund, which is a scheme which isn't a bad idea, we would do it better in my view. Again, it only funds 30% of the capital
costs. So in essence, you would put up 30% of mezzanine financing, and then the rest of it is the capitalist system flowing in and funding.
Not exactly, because the Housing Finance Agency, which provides the bulk of finance, for example, for social homes by approved housing bodies, and the European Investment Bank, for example, which increasingly wants to provide finance for affordable housing, they provide long-term very low interest loans, and in particular if they're lending to local authorities, even lower interest. So it's not as expensive as market finance. Yes, some approved housing bodies do access some market finance, albeit at lower rates than the commercial interest.
So in essence then, if I understand it right, Eoin, you are saying that 6.5 billion would be multiplied up to 19 billion as a function of what the central...
Unfortunately, it's not that simple or clean. where the state is funding local authorities to deliver social homes, it provides 90% of the finance. Where the state is providing finance to approved housing bodies for social housing, it provides 30%. Where the state is providing finance for affordable purchase homes to HBs or local authorities, it provides 30% and cost rental. So unfortunately, because of the, I suppose, the system we're inheriting, there are different funding streams for different types of housing. What you'll see when we launch our alternative budget this year is it makes it very, very clear where the capital expenditure of the state is.
Well, what's the net multiplier effect on that 6.5? What do you think the actual end value that you will be able to get by using that as an investment will be?
For me, the more important point, because that's not the way you think about social housing, is the number of units you can deliver. And therefore, for us, the really key thing here is we need, on the basis of a very comprehensive assessment of need, we need 20,000 non-market homes a year, every year into our system.
But that bit you've publicly committed to, the other side of that, of the how much of the funding do you get, is less clear. So that's why I'm focusing on that.
In our alternative budget this year, we're going to make that very, very clear. We'll actually have a line in the spreadsheet which shows how much the AHBs have to borrow, for example, how much the local authorities have to borrow.
But until that point, we take your word for it, in essence.
Well, I suppose the budget is, 3 weeks away. We're going to launch our alternative budget next week. The figures that you're quoting are a year ago, and obviously lots of things have changed. So if I wanted to be honest with people, it's much better I give you the most up-to-date figures, and we'll be publishing them in about a week's time, and I'm happy to come in and talk to you about them, though.
Who's going to build all of this?
Okay, so before we talk about the build, there are some bigger challenges than that, which a lot of people out there won't appreciate. With public housing, there's a huge amount of bureaucracy that's imposed by the Department of Housing and Public Expenditure and Reform and local authorities and approved housing bodies. That can add 2 years to a project between planning and construction. So the first thing we have to do is we have to cut away as much of that bureaucracy as possible to accelerate the delivery of public housing. That is the single biggest thing.
But then you get to a point where you say, we need people with shovels, diggers, cement, block. Who's going to build it?
And I'm going to come to that, but it's really important people understand the challenges. The second thing is, when I talk to building contractors out there, and I talk to large numbers of them, both the very large building contractors and the small SMEs around the country, they tell us that they would actually like to have a constant stream of public works contracts for social and affordable housing, but they can't get into the public procurement contracts because the conditions are so onerous. So the second bit is, not only do we have to strip away the bureaucracy from the department, we have to reform public procurement for public works contracts for housing to make it easier for the SME builders.
Can you get to my actual question then? Who's going to build it?
The third thing is this. At the Irish Home Builders Association conference this year, which is the building contractors, the head of the Irish Home Builders Association today said they can actually build, with the capacity they have in the industry today, more homes than are currently being built. But they need a government to address the two other issues I had.
Okay, so, last time on, come on. Who are we talking pre-existing construction companies who are now working in the market are going to start working for the state?
I am getting to it, right? But what I'm saying is there's a number of steps. So, first of all, public homes will be built by private building contractors. They will be built by SME builders and the large building contractors. And there is a capacity in the private sector to build more residential homes if government gets its act together and makes it easier for those building contractors to get into the public works contract. So,
no, but hang on for a minute. If it is the pre-existing market that is going to do it, that market is now turning out on an average, about 34,000 homes per annum. You're going to...
Not a chance. Well, this year, we might get 20 to 24,000 units of accommodation.
Okay, well, let's say 20 to 24,000 will work off your figures. You're going to double that.
So we're not going to
double it. And you're going to double it with the existing providers.
You're not going to double it overnight. You can't go from 20,000 to 40,000. What we're saying is the priority has to be large volumes social and affordable homes.
But you kind of have to double it overnight. Like, you've committed to 100,000 homes over 5 years. Means you instantly start at a rate of 20,000, or by the time you get to the end of the 5 years, you're churning out 40,000 or 60,000.
You need an average of at least 20,000 a year. So the first bit is, not all of those have to be new built homes. You'll see in our plans last year, and again the plans we launch in 2 weeks' time, about 4,000 of our 20,000 homes a year would come from vacant and derelict stock. They're structures that are already there. In many cases, they're quicker and cheaper to acquire, refurbish and get back on the market. So about 4,000 will be existing. There still is construction work that has to happen on those.
Quite a bit, yeah.
But it doesn't take as long, according to government figures that we have, as new builds.
So go back then. How many are you going to deliver in the first year?
So the target is to get 20,000. That is...
Well, that's overnight. That is an immediate doubling of the supply.
Normally... No, because if you
Yes, you just said 24 and you're saying year one, another 20.
It's not a doubling, because if you look at, for example, the current figures within the 20 to 24,000 homes that are currently being delivered, there's a portion of those that are social and affordable homes, far too few. But you're going to have to start to increase the supply from 24,000 up to at least 28, 29, 30,000. Can that be done? Yes, it can be done through one. Great use of vacant
stock. Hang on. I'm are you saying you're going to do an additional 20,000 year one, or you're not going to do an additional 20,000?
What we're saying is, in year one of the total housing stock that's delivered, public and private, 20,000 have to be public. That doesn't mean that you're going to go to 40,000 in year one. That's not possible. But could you move from 22, 23,000, 24,000 up to 28, 29, 30,000? Yes, you can, right? And you can do it, one, by greater use of vacant and derelicts.
So sorry, are you saying that's an increase then of about 5 or 6,000 units? Is that right?
It could be anything up to 10,000 of the total stock.
So then the next year, one assumes, if you're ramping up on a graduated curve, by the time you get to the fifth year of government, you have to be generating about 60,000 houses to make up for the ones you didn't do in the first year.
Be very clear, right? What's the actual total quantum of homes that we need, public and private? If you talk to, for example, Lord Concern, TUD, or Rona Lyons in Trinity, they're saying 40, 45,000, right? That's the total quantum. We're going to deliver between public and private homes this year about 20, 24. We're going to have to get to that 40 or 45, right? How many years would it take you to get to that with the kind of programme we're talking about? It would probably take you the 5 years of government to get to your 40,000. But you can, with the right types of approaches, the right types of investments, in year one, ensure that at least 20,000 of the total
number of homes delivered are public homes. Now, just explain one bit finally to me in this, Owen. You've just said that it would take you roughly the 5 years of government to get to a production number of an increase of 20,000 per annum, to the 44 in total.
Absolutely.
You are committed to delivering 100,000 additional over that 5 year period. Those numbers don't add up.
No, the 100,000, just to be very clear, right? 20,000 public homes a year, right? So over 5 years, that's 20 by five. What you're mistaking, I think, is, of the total quantum of homes that are being delivered now, if we were in government next year, far more of that quantum would be social and affordable. So you would be prioritising the delivery of genuinely affordable homes.
So in your 100,000 by the end of your 5 years in government, you are incorporating a huge amount of homes that are already being built and planned, but you're recategorising.
Well, you're not recategorizing them. They are social and affordable homes. So sure, they could be planning permissions in the system, both public and private. But the crucial point is this. What we need, for example, here in Dublin, is large volumes of homes for people to rent and buy at genuinely affordable prices. And therefore, government policy has to prioritize delivery of those homes to 20,000 a year. Can that be done? Yes. Is it a huge challenge? Yes. But it can be done.
One final thing I want to ask you before you go. Whenever we talk about one of your policies, we get a huge text reaction, which is that thing of putting in place a rental freeze or a rental reduction. We get a reaction from landlords who are saying,
sure,
that's terrifying me and I'm going to run out of the market. Have you any concern that that will have that broad an effect where landlords will see Sinn Féin possibly coming into government and think, run for the hills?
So the first thing is we are absolutely committed to a 3 year ban on rent increases for all existing and new rental properties. Following that, we'll then index link rent reviews to wages, for example, and inflation.
And to the market effect on.
But the crucial point is this, is that renters cannot take any further rent increases. They simply can't, both for their own financial security and for the local market.
Forgive me being rude because time is against us. To the
Sturgeon,
market effect, do you worry that it'll drive landlords out?
I'll come to that. But Nicola Sturgeon yesterday, for example, announced a rent freeze and a ban on evictions over the winter, something that we would do. Landlords are leaving the market, right? They've been leaving the market since 2017.
And do you believe this will cause that, that this will catalyse a further move in that direction?
I don't think it's going to accelerate it any more than it currently is doing, but I do need, government needs a response to landlords exiting the market, and we have a whole set of policy proposals which I outlined on this radio station last week as to how to deal with that, because the crucial issue is the rise in homelessness. For that, we need those 20,000 social affordable homes annually. That has to be the priority.
It is a hugely complicated area, and it is an area in which you have a huge degree of a policy platform. Undoubtedly, Pat will take you up on that offer when the new budget comes out to get into even further detail. That is Owen O'Brien, who is Sinn Féin spokesperson for housing.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Running a business is hard work. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI, from site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want, the way you want, and manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.